Wendy Snyder here with you this morning. Bob Surratt will return on Monday, and we're going to check in with Joseph Lindsley now. Biden and Zelensky are at the G7 summit right now, and hopefully they will be discussing Ukraine. Joseph, good morning or good afternoon to you.
Wendy, good afternoon from Lviv. Calm, kind of chilly day here. And yes, indeed, at the G7, I think one theme that Ukrainians are hoping to push there is, as we discussed before, this $300 billion in frozen Russian assets that are held by the U.S., by many countries throughout Europe. Those assets were frozen at the beginning of Russia's big invasion, and they're untouched. And Ukrainians are saying, why don't we start to use some of this money to pay for the cost of defending Ukraine, for reconstruction? So I do think that will be a big topic. And then, of course, this weekend, after the G7, will be President Zelensky's peace conference. President Biden won't be there, but Vice President Harris will be. And all this comes just, there was a conference that just ended in Berlin looking at reconstruction for Ukraine. And I think you see, we see, as always, a mix of things. NATO Secretary General said that he wants a push to make it mandatory for all NATO members to provide weapons for Ukraine at some point. So a stronger stance. We look also at some of the discussions from that reconstruction conference in Berlin. One of the key figures there was Penny Pritzker. She has been appointed by President Biden, from Chicago, actually, appointed by President Biden to oversee reconstruction for Ukraine. And she said at this conference, she said, "To anyone who's involved in Ukraine, it's personal. It's hard not to be taken in by the commitment of the people, and that carries you through." And I see that from, people, whether it's, hardened veterans of Afghanistan to liberal college professors to high-level officials on the left and the right. Everyone that comes here is sort of captivated by the spirit that they see. And you see that even from these high-level officials. And I think I've even seen a change in that, because a few months ago, Penny Pritzker was focused on, using big agriculture companies to help, Ukrainian farmers. And she had a more distinctly local message this time in this conference in Berlin. And I think as you spend more time here, you see, like, for example, in the case of farmers, Ukrainian farmers don't need help from major chemical food companies in America. What they need is no more landmines. They need clearance of landmines, and they need not to be conscripted to fight, which means they need victory. And so we're starting to see, I think, more of an awareness that, instead of talking about reconstruction, talk about getting Ukraine the weapons that they need to win. And as an example of this, Kharkiv City, now after 2 years, now that Washington has permitted Ukraine to fire back in a limited way in that, in the neighboring Russian region, Kharkiv is significantly calmer than it was a few weeks ago. I mean, it was terrifying to be there. And I want to share with you some words from Kate. She's a Ukrainian blogger in Kharkiv. And she said, "While Russian missile strikes still occasionally occur and glide bombs can still approach our northern suburbs, it's not entirely safe, but I increasingly venture outdoors. The omnipresent threat has diminished to a tolerable level. The restrictions, which lasted over 2 years, left Kharkiv vulnerable and suffering. Despite our pleas, it seemed no one would intervene. But then you," and she's speaking to the people around the world, "but then you spoke up. Although your leaders may have been deaf to our appeals, they listened to you. I'm profoundly grateful for your advocacy. It moves me to the brink of tears." And this is really the attitude I hear from people in Kharkiv. They feel profoundly grateful because, just again, a few weeks ago, I mean, the Russian bombing was so intense on that city. I mean, it felt like they were going to make it into another Mariupol or Bakhmut. And that's not the case now, because of this change in policy.
So my question to you, the resilience is amazing with these people in Ukraine. You had mentioned that attack a couple of nights ago. Now, the reports we're getting, there's some military exercises going on in the Caribbean. What do you have for us about that?
Yeah, Russia has made a big show about its military exercises off the coast of Cuba, and they have ships in Havana. There are American and Canadian ships, I think even a British ship, that are kind of watching this very closely, and making a show to keep the world afraid, it seems. But as we discussed yesterday, I mean, It's safer right now for a Russian ship to be in the Caribbean than it is to be in the Black Sea, because Ukrainians have destroyed so much of Russia's Black Sea Navy. You know, Russia was forced last fall to move the headquarters of its Black Sea fleet from occupied Crimea, from Sevastopol, all the way across the sea toward the nation of Georgia, so on Russian mainland, to be safer from Ukrainian drone strikes. And so Ukrainians have shown that a mighty navy can be defeated with very innovative small sea drones. And so I think if Ukrainians can do this, and I don't think Americans have great reason to be afraid of the Russian navy in the Caribbean. And that's happened even before Russia's big invasion of Ukraine. I think 4 or 5 years ago there were similar exercises. But the one thing that should keep people in America calm is to look at what Ukrainians have done with their drones to destroy so many of the key Russian ships. And that's why we've seen a decrease in attacks upon Ukraine from the Black Sea, because of that. And you know, as I was thinking about that big Russian missile attack two nights ago, you know, most of those missiles came from bombers that were flying deep over Russian territory. Very often they launch over the Caspian Sea, which is deep into Russia and into Asia. And you know, just imagine, I was thinking of the distances, because as I was sitting here in Lviv, we get reports, oh, missiles are coming toward Lviv, and then they're turning toward Kyiv or Dnipro. That would be like if you're sitting in Chicago and you say, you're reading your messages on your phone and it says missiles are coming to St. Louis or Kansas City. Oh, wait, now they're coming to Aurora, and now they're turning toward Chicago, and now they're going back to Kansas City. It's that insane over this huge distance, because the missiles are traveling very fast.
Yeah.
And they're twisting and turning. And so just to give you a little feel of what, you know, on American geography, what that feels like.
Yeah, because honestly, I can't even imagine it. So thank you for putting that into perspective for all of us. Joseph Lindsley is live in Ukraine. We talk to him every morning. We'll do that again tomorrow. You can go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com. You can support Accelerate Victory. Click on that button. And thank you so much. I'm hoping you have a quiet evening tonight, Joseph.
Thanks, Wendy. I look forward to tomorrow. Thanks.
We'll speak tomorrow.